So the title of today's message is All Peoples on Earth Will Be Blessed Through You. And our key verse is verse 3. So read it with me, please. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All right. So if you like to set your camera view down to the bottom right hand corner of your screen.
Screen sharing.
You'll be able to hopefully see the PowerPoint without things getting in the way. Let me share the screen again. So let me pray and we'll get started. Father, gracious Heavenly Father, we are just incredibly grateful for you and your presence among us. We thank you for the good news of Jesus and his gospel given to us. Please come now and illuminate and enlighten us according to your word by your spirit. Father, I pray that whatever comes from my mouth that is not of you would fall away, for the grass withers and the flowers fall, but your word endures forever. Lord Jesus, speak to us. Speak, Lord. Speak. Your children are listening. Have mercy. In the name of Christ, amen. All right. To many of us, this is such a familiar passage. So right away, we have to challenge ourselves to be like new wineskins today, to let God's word stretch us in a new way, the way that may not be comfortable to hear, but necessary for our spiritual growth. So now up to this point in Genesis, we have been moving through history relatively quickly with only a few brief pauses as hundreds and hundreds of years are elapsing very quickly. But beginning in our passage today, there is a radical change in context. There is a very focused look at the life of one man, Abram, and his journey of faith. And in a sense, so also with the rest of Genesis, as we also look at his sons and grandsons. So first, we are given the background of Abram's family in the last part of chapter 11, as we read, right, from Noah, sons Shem, we follow the lineage to the man called Abram from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, where was Ur? Ur was essentially in the same place as our passage last week, which was Shinar, right, where the Tower of Babel was. So Abram's family was not one of the families who had really scattered to distant parts of the earth. At least they hadn't traveled more than 100 miles from where the tower was. And we learn here that Abram's father was Terah. Also that Abram had a wife named Sarai, who was very beautiful, right? As beautiful as Shepherdess Ruth, but was unable to bear children. He also had a brother named Nahor and a nephew named Lot. And the culture of Abram's time was mostly nomadic, but there were also cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, which were often full of corruption. And there were also some loosely defined nations like Egypt, who were the most influential and powerful people at the time. Now, we also learn from scripture that Abram's family basically were idol worshipers following the culture of the time. And there was nothing particularly special about them. But then beginning in chapter 12, God appears to Abram for the first time. And he says to Abram, right? says, go. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So these words must have been quite a disruption to Abraham. But we know a little bit about disruption, right? But especially from this pandemic, our lives have been disrupted. But God's disruption is always good, right? Because God has always a good purpose for disrupting us. So, to Abram, to leave his country meant traveling hundreds of miles on a long and potentially dangerous journey. Leaving his father's household went also against his sense of family and duty, because it would be his responsibility to care for his tribe once his father passed away. So there's no logical reason that Abram should heed such a call. Neither was God's call a reward for good behavior. It was solely a call of sovereign grace. God simply chose a sinful man to mold and shape into a man of faith for a greater purpose, God's purpose. Isn't this always how the call and the grace of God goes? He doesn't choose us based on our merits. Rather, God comes to us at our worst and calls out. As the Bible says, God does not justify the godly, but the ungodly who trust in him. Right? Romans 4:5 says, however, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. God does not care about our work. It is not by our work or merits that we are chosen. It is because we realize our need to trust in something more than ourselves. So I believe that's why, in part, God chose Abram. Abraham was weak and fatalistic. But in his weakness, there was an awareness of sin. Perhaps a big part of this was his barren wife. No matter how many sacrifices he made to the idols, or no matter how hard he tried, he was helpless to have children. But it is often at these points when we come to the end of ourselves that we are open to hear the call of God and place our trust in him. It is the very beginning of faith, to listen and believe in something greater than ourselves. And the result of this faith is always obedience. Because Abraham trusted God, he was willing to do what God said. Gospel faith always produces gospel obedience. And such obedience is the proof of gospel faith. Does that make sense? But we always must be careful not to put the cart before the horse. It's not obedience, then faith, but having come to faith, there will always be obedience. So let's look at a map here. So you can see Chaldea and Ur over here on the bottom right-hand side. So the first part of Abram's journey took him from Ur, following the Euphrates River, right, up all the way up to Haran. Okay. Right. He definitely didn't want to go across this brown area because this is desert. It often reaches 120 degrees Fahrenheit there. So he would probably die. So it's better to stay in this green area. So he follows the river where there's water up to Haran, right? And, you know, we notice he did not go to Canaan right away. He first goes to Haran. But I believe Haran was where God had showed him, right? God didn't say, go to Canaan. God said, go to the land I will show you. And I believe Haran was the place that God first showed him, right, on his way. So I think step by step, God was leading him and showing him. Because this was no easy journey, right? The journey from Ur to Haran was 600 miles, right? Imagine traveling 600 miles on foot or by camel. Right? This is a perilous and dangerous journey. But I think along this journey, Abram was learning to trust God. I believe he saw evidence on this journey that God was with him. And when Abram reached Haran, he stopped there for a time. And it seems that his family did well there, accumulating possessions and wealth. But something tragic also happened in Haran. His father died, and also it seems his brother at some point died on this journey. It may be through these tragic events that God showed Abram it was time to move on to the next step in his journey. So from Haran, Abram then headed back south and east, right, and down to Canaan. So this was another 400 miles from Haran to Canaan. So in total, Abram journeyed about 1,000 miles, right? So Abraham was indeed the first missionary, right? The first to cross the cultural barrier and go somewhere else completely different where God called. Now, along with this call to go, there was also God's promise. So notice God's promise in verses 2 and 3. So read these together with me. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genuine faith never stands on its own. Genuine faith must always have a promise to cling to. cling to. And so God gave Abram a rich supply of promises here. Notice especially the repeated words and phrases that I highlighted in the different colors.
I don't know.
So look at the red words. Notice four times God says, I will do something. I will. This passage is not just about Abram, but about God. God who takes the initiative. This is all God's plan and his purpose. So notice also how God's plan is in direct contrast to the plans of Nimrod's people in the previous chapter who tried to make themselves great. They wanted to make a name for themselves, to make their own great nation. They wanted to be the ones who got to choose who was blessed and who was cursed. But in contrast, God says, not you, but I. I will make you into a great nation. I am the one who will make names great, and I will choose who is blessed and who is cursed. Notice also the word you in blue, seven times. God's promise was also personal. He said to Abram, I have chosen you. You. Not anyone else. It is you I have chosen. It is through you that all peoples on earth will be blessed. This is the personal nature of God's calling. God calls each of us personally to something that he has prepared in advance. At the same time, that call is connected to something much greater than ourselves. God takes the personal and connects it to the prophetic, something much bigger that is still to come. And so this is also what makes his calling a blessing, right? The green words. His calling is not merely for us personally, but for those who are connected to us. Blessing is found five times. We are blessed to be a blessing. This speaks of God's intention, not to harm, not to make our life miserable and difficult through endless training and suffering, but to be made into a source of blessing to others. Blessing is always the goal of God's call. Did you know that in many old English dictionaries, the primary definition of the word blessing was not to receive something special, but to be made holy? We are called to be made holy, to be a blessing. Now, these first three verses that we have covered are so very important because they also serve as a kind of functional lens for the rest of the Bible. They help us to interpret and to see the gospel unfolding across the rest of the New Testament, or Old Testament, and into the New. These promises to Abram connect us to the gospel message. In fact, we, the Gentiles, are the result of these promises. We are not connected to Abram by blood, but by God's promise, by faith. Most especially God's promise that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is also what Paul said in Galatians 3:8. Right? He said, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. These first words of God to Abraham also connect us to the last words of Christ Jesus. You remember them? Before our Lord descended back to heaven, what did he say? To go where? To go into all the world and to preach the gospel to who? To all people, right? To make disciples of all nations and to teach them obey everything I have taught you. Why is there this universal scope of mission to which the Church of Jesus Christ has been called? Why are we to be missionary minded? Why are we to be missionary people? It is because God had promised through Abram to bless all the nations of the earth. This is the gospel promise. Like Abram, we must hold these promises by faith. Like Abram, God is calling us to the place, calling us to place our trust in him, right? To step out in obedience and to trust in what we cannot see, to even go when we don't know where we're going. Now in verses 4 through 9, the scene shifts from Haran to Canaan, right? The another 400-mile journey, not knowing exactly where he would end up. And so now after 1,000 miles, Abram might be wondering if he would ever get to the land God was going to show him. But God never promised it would be easy to get there. Neither does he promise us that our lives will be always comfortable and pleasant, right? Following his call. No one walks with the Lord without challenges and difficulties. And along the way, we are tempted by many false promises as well. We are tempted to find a place in life that we can become settled, a place of least resistance, a place where we feel comfortable. But brothers and sisters, beware of the comfortable life. Because of the life that doesn't call us to step out in faith and into difficulty and hardship in order to serve God, it is all too easy to say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you want me to go, and then stop short of Canaan. I think many start out the Christian life with an eager faith, with enthusiasm, excited for the journey, excited to think about what God would and could do for you. The possibilities seemed endless, and there was a willingness to endure hardship for the gospel. But do we still have that kind of faith, or are we settled for a have we settled for a kind of comfortable faith? A faith that doesn't call for sacrifice or for doing the hard thing. So Brother Rocky challenged us last week to find 3 people to reach out to. Do you remember? Did you do it? Was it that difficult? And so I want to challenge you this week as well. So this is our challenge for this week. I want to challenge us to rekindle our gospel faith. Think about what it was that kindled us in the first place. Wasn't that faith first kindled when you began to understand who Jesus was, who he is, and what he had done? Wasn't it the gospel that stirred our hearts when we realized that we had full and free forgiveness in Christ and that we were justified by faith alone, apart from works? We need to get always back to that simple faith. Now in verse 6, Abram arrived in Shechem. In Canaan. Shechem was at really basically the center of Canaan, the crossroads of Palestine. And it wasn't a desolate land where no one lived. It was already, in fact, claimed by the Canaanites. But God appears to him and lets him know that he has finally arrived at the place God had in mind. This was the place God wanted to show him. And it was in this place that God said, to your offspring, I will give this land. Now, I'm going to talk about this promise of the land in just a minute. But before I do, I want you to see the progression here. Right? Abraham moves from Ur to Haran to Shechem. Now, what I want us to remember here is that if Abraham had not left Ur or Haran, he would never have met God at Shechem. It was a perilous and risky journey of at least 1,000 miles, But in that journey, Abram learned that he could trust God. He learned that God, who called him from his comfortable place, would meet him at his destination. At the beginning of this year, none of us could have predicted this pandemic crisis we are in. For some of us, it has changed the way we work and live, maybe even our job. And we don't know where God may call us to next. But he promises that we will not be alone. He will be there along the journey, and he will be there at the end. One lesson that I took away from this message is that if we want to know God more, then I have to step out on faith. There has to be risk and uncertainty. Otherwise, is it really faith? But that can be the scary part, right? That's what faith is. Like, not sure of where we're necessarily going. We can't see the destination always. But once you take that first step, not knowing what lies ahead, we also know that he will be there every step of the way. We put our hope in him. Now, back to the land. The land God did indeed give to Abram's offspring, right? When Joshua led his descendants to conquer this land later. But this promise of the land is much more than the hope of Israel having some Middle East real estate. Remember what God is doing through Abraham is to bless all peoples of the earth. This land, Canaan, is not just real estate. It stands between the Garden of Eden and the New Jerusalem. It stands as a promise, a kind of down payment to remind us of God's plan of redemption and the fact that he is moving history in the direction of restoration. What was Abram's response to all this? He worships. He builds an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. And he travels on and pitches his tent between Bethel and Ai, and again, he worships. Then in verse 9, he continues on his way south through Canaan toward the Negev. So we see Abram is a wanderer and a worshiper. In fact, if we know Jesus Christ, we too are wanderers and worshipers. Why? Because this world is not our home. We are like Abram in that sense. Hebrews 11:10 says, Abraham was looking forward, right? Looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Like Abraham, God has called us to go. To go into all the world and to share these promises of God with others. Have you heard the gospel call? I did not mention earlier, but Abram was 75 years old when he heard God's call. Shepherd Jim Paul is 76, just 1 year older. So it's never too late to step out by faith in obedience to what God might be calling us to this very day. It is that faith that connects us to Abram, to Christ Jesus, and to the promises yet to be seen. One day we will arrive safe at last in the loving embrace of our Father God. And there we will talk with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those who followed in the footsteps of faith. May God bless us to believe his promises by faith, so that all peoples on earth might come to know Jesus Christ, the one true God and source of all blessing to us. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I thank and praise you for your call and your promise to Abram, a promise now being made complete through the gospel work of Christ Jesus. And now even now you are calling sinners like us through this gospel. Lord, forgive our lack of faith and help us to rekindle our gospel faith, not to just be content with where we are now, but to be stretched like a new wineskin, to take that next step of faith in our journey, even when that step may seem risky or uncertain or even illogical. But Lord, we may do so because you have called us to go and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize in your name and to teach others to obey everything you have commanded us. Lord, help us to do so not in our strength, but in faith, believing you are with us always, the very end of the age. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
So we thank God for Pastor Russell's message today and his excitement and meditation on this familiar passage of Abraham's calling. So God may help us to reflect on what we really heard and sensed God speaking to us through this passage and through this message, especially regarding God's calling, this awesome relational process of growth and maturing that God does with us all, that involves deepening a relationship as well as risk and uncertainty and wandering and worship and being willing to step out of that place of settledness to a place of potential difficulty and hardship out by faith and in trust with the relationship God seeks to build with us all along the way. So we thank God for his word today, and we may take time this week, as Pastor Russell had encouraged us, to rekindle our gospel faith and God's calling in our life. Have some time to reflect on where you are at in that process and what are the things that you can rejoice and celebrate and be thankful for, and where are the areas where God may be encouraging you and exhorting you to take a step. Take one step this way or that way to the place God is showing you in your journey and in the kind of relationship God wants to build with you. And his ultimate goal is to make you more and more, and to make us more and more like Jesus. So thank God for constantly working in this blessed direction for us all. All right, so let's conclude today. I'll say a short word of prayer. And then we will sing our benediction. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace and for your love and for your calling upon our lives. Lord, this calling is not so much for us to do things or to go somewhere, although it involves those things. Lord, it's a lot about a process of relationship that you want to have with us, and how you want to know us and be known by us, and how you want to bless others and even bless the world through our lives and through our faith, through our relationship to you, through us becoming more and more like Jesus. So Lord, help us to take time this week to connect more deeply with you, especially in regards to your calling upon our lives and how you've revealed yourself to us and how you've revealed the gospel of Jesus to us, and begin to rekindle the fires of such love and passion and excitement and surrender and stability and also uncomfortability in our lives, and identify ways in which you may be calling us beyond the settledness and comfortableness of certain aspects of our lives into something more, into something deeper, into something that can change and bless the world over time. Lord, please indicate what those things are, what those areas are in the specifics as we all think about and pray through and trust to hear from you in regard to this areas of our calling this week, and continue to bless our online worship over the next week, and bless our plans and prayers to regather. Continue to watch over all those who are going through much more difficult hardship during this time of COVID. And we just thank you and celebrate all the new things and wonderful things and deepening relationship things you have been doing among us, within our families, within our marriages, within our community, through this unique time of sheltering and being together a lot more. Continue to bless and multiply this to bless the world more through us, through our community. Give us insight and wisdom to engage more deeply and strategically with each other and with you this summer through these various initiatives, Lord. And continue to ignite a passion and a strategy and a willingness to see how we can continue circle this college campus of UT that still is a fire burning in us all and in our church. So give us wisdom on how to do this in a wonderful way that will bless us and grow us and change us, and also impact and transform the lives of college students, and including all of our children who are headed in that way in sooner more than later, including Kofi. Bless him as he transitions to a new life at Lord's College in the fall. Lord, I thank you. Pray all this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.